Okay. Anybody have a testimony they want to share tonight? Okay, Tracy. That's always an ordeal, trying to straighten out things toward the end. Anybody else? Okay, yes.
Well, you know, everybody takes precautions, and two of my kids came down with COVID. They're adults. My daughter's 8 months pregnant. And her husband, and then my twin brother and his girl, and a one-month-old baby, or a one-year-old baby. But you know what? The Lord's good, and they said it was like having the flu. So that's a praise.
Amen.
That they got through that easily compared to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still a little tired, but they're through 2 weeks, and they're doing great. And so just want to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise God. Very good. Okay. Anybody else? All righty. Yes.
God has given me a brand new home. So we got one, so we've been making some repairs. So God has been providing all the things that we need along the way.
Amen. Yes. Katie.
We gave it God our first miracle and another job. The Lord provided for us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Very good. Meant to ask you, when do you move in? Okay. Very good. All right. Well, the Lord's been good to us all, hasn't he? When I was here a couple weeks ago, we were going over the two types of Babylons that are mentioned in Scripture, and we gave out these yellow sheets that give a scripture reference to the two different types of Babylons. Eddie, would you come? If anybody did not get one of these, flag Eddie down. And we'll make sure you get it. Like I said, it's been 2 weeks since we got into Revelation. We're going to have to do some catch-up work, review work. It's been a while, and it is a very significant area in the book of Revelation because it deals with what a lot of people believe is the United States. And I hear this often. People say, well, where is the United States in the Bible? So many other countries are mentioned. But they say the United States isn't. You know, I could think about Sierra Leone in Africa. It's not mentioned either. Ghana is not mentioned. Nigeria isn't mentioned. Why? Because only the major powers are mentioned in the Bible. And sometimes the words that the Bible uses are spiritual words rather than directly saying this is such and such a nation. it gives the spiritual characteristics of those countries. Let me give you an example here. In Revelation 11 and verse 8, to give you some background on what we're reading so you know the context, there are going to be two witnesses of the Lord during the tribulation period. They are able to bring plagues like Moses brought plagues on Egypt. They're able to call down plagues from heaven upon people on the earth, because those who are alive at the time when these two witnesses live, they're lost people. They've rejected the Lord, and the reason they're still alive is because they're receiving punishment from God. Just the beginning of punishment, though. But I want you to see what happens. They are killed. They're assassinated by the people on the earth, because the people on the earth don't want to hear the gospel anymore. And I want you to look at verse 8. It says, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Okay, I want you to look at that carefully. It says that he's calling this Sodom and Egypt, but it's where Jesus was crucified. Well, where was Jesus crucified?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. So what he's doing is applying the spiritual condition of Sodom to Jerusalem. He is applying the spiritual condition of Egypt to Jerusalem. So this will help us to understand what's going on when we use the term Babylon, because it is not referring to literal Babylon with the physical or geographic boundaries that it once had. We're not even considering that. But the spiritual characteristics of Babylon are going to be divided into two areas. One deals with spiritual Babylon, and the other deals with physical Babylon, although not in the same area. So let me just stop there for a second. Am I going too fast? Everybody understand what I'm talking about here? Okay. I don't want to run ahead, because there really is a lot more we could put in, and I'm not going to do it right now. But there are two Babylons that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. One is the land, the place, and it carries the terrible spiritual condition of Babylon. Then you have the religious Babylon that's called Mystery Babylon. And Mystery Babylon is actually a religion. It is housed in a particular place. But it is called Babylon anyway, because it contains all the bad spiritual characteristics of the Babylonian religion. Now, if you don't catch all this, don't worry about it. If you think back, you read the book of Daniel, one of the things that Daniel was doing was studying the book of Jeremiah. And as he studied the book of Jeremiah, he came into a lot of areas that he didn't understand. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why he fasted and prayed as long as he did. He wanted some answers from God. But he didn't understand about this thing of taking the spiritual condition of a city, of a place, and applying it to some condition that existed then. And so if this is kind of difficult to comprehend, go back to Daniel, see what Daniel was going through. You'll feel better that you're in good company with Brother Daniel. Now, let's take a look at Revelation chapter 14. And here it is talking about the demise, the destruction of Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great. In verse 8, it says, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Of her fornication. Now, the word fornication involves a lot of things. It can include adultery. It can include homosexuality. It can include just about any sexual perversion. So what we're looking at here is this country, this place, Great Babylon, that has caused all nations around the world to be involved in her fornication. There is no nation as influential as the United States. China is not as influential. Russia is not as influential. There is no other country that would fit the bill of influencing every nation around the world as the United States. Now, I mention this with great sadness because we love our country. We don't love what it has become in the last days, but we love our country. We love the greatness of its start, because it started on people's knees as they looked to the Lord. It started with people seeking biblical principles that need to be placed into a constitution. And this is the constitution that we have today. A lot of people don't like it, but it had great origins. And we need to be thankful for those origins and look back, give God the praise. Now, I think you probably, as you look at all the conditions that are mentioned in the Bible, I think you'll see that the spiritual characteristics of the country of Babylon, the empire of Babylon, those spiritual characteristics apply to our country today. They wouldn't have years ago, but it's today. And as it continues on the way it's going, it'll be worse. But we need to recognize that these are spiritual conditions. What did Babylon do? Babylon went around the world trying to inflict the rest of the world with their religions. And they had many gods. They had great architecture. They had great education. They prided themselves on the education of Babylon. Daniel was one of the young men that was taken from Israel, and you know the others, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were taken from Israel because they were the smartest ones of the young people that they could find in Israel. And they were brought to Babylon to go to Babylonian schools, and there they would be instructed in all the different religious beliefs, the astrology, the crazy ideas that the Babylonians had. They would be instructed in this. Now, the Babylonians were very, very supportive of education. And matter of fact, there were great libraries in the city of Babylon. And when the Babylonians went out to battle, one of the first things that they did was to raid the libraries of every country. And they would take the books, and they would bring them back to Babylon. And there they had a host of scholars who would review all this knowledge, all this supposed wisdom. And, you know, this is why Babylon became so great, is because they assimilated all the wisdom of all the different nations. Well, we know that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't go along with it. They stood alone. And the king recognized that their faith, their beliefs, were superior to anything that the Babylonians had. So when we look at the mistakes of Babylon, we realize that by taking in everything and putting it into one pot, it becomes a phrase that you're familiar with. A melting pot. A melting pot. And the United States now is considered a melting pot. Now, a melting pot can be a good thing depending on what's put into it. But it can be a very dangerous thing if what is put into it is not right. If you take a spoiled meat and you put it into a pot and then you stir it around, you say, but it's all the bacteria is killed. Not necessarily. You still have danger in the bacteria that survive. And this could poison a person very easily. And this is what happened to Babylon. And this is what is happening to the United States. Fornication. Having affairs with all the different nations, taking all them in. Now, some of you may remember, some of you went to school when they actually taught history. You remember that this country, in its earlier years, all the way through the 1800s, up until probably around 1920, this country would stand up against any other country and say, we are distinct. We are different. The impact of this country in its earlier days around the world was phenomenal. We have the French Revolution taking place because there were people who said, we want to be like the United States. You study American history, you know that the French especially would send generals over to this country to be part of the Revolutionary Army because they admired the United States so much. I think the one that we alienated most was England. And I don't think they've forgiven us yet. All the other countries, they wanted to be like the United States. We set the rules. We set the standards. Now all that's changed. You find the Bible being thrown out of our judicial system. And you find that today judges are actually asking other countries, what would you do? We want to follow your rules. And all this is being accepted into our society today. The United Nations, we're abiding by their judicial system. There are different countries over in Europe where we seek, tell us what you want done. And believe it or not, in parts of this country, some in Minnesota, some in northern Michigan, where the Quran and the laws of the Quran are accepted as absolute law when a judge gives a verdict. That's how bad it's become now. So we have become this melting pot. It was never intended to be a melting pot. It was intended to be a foremost power to show others how to do things. We were supposed to lead the way. Still a little bit of that left. Around the world, if the United States says, our CDC tells us that in order to avoid malaria, you need to stand on your head for 5 minutes a day and you won't get malaria. And sure enough, every country in the world will follow whatever is told. They'll abide by whatever is told. I mean, I know this. I correspond with people around the world. And they say, well, the United States Department of this or that, they say this. And, you know, they believe it because it comes from the United States. The influence of this country goes far beyond what you ever might imagine. If today you were to get on a plane and fly to Rome, fly to Beirut, fly to New Delhi, India, as you sit in the waiting area of the airport, you will see a television program, and it is almost always CNN. You go to any hotel overseas, and the program that you will see on the news is CNN. So we need to realize that if Babylon is the country that has fornication with all the nations of the world, there's only one nation that fits that bill. And unfortunately, it is the one that we're living in right now. Well, I'd like for you to take a look. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. This Babylon is most commonly referred to as the Great Babylon. The Great Babylon. Babylon the Great. And you look at chapter 18, and it gives a description. Verse 1 says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of what? Devils? And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." What we're looking at again is a description of what's happening here in this country. It says a habitation of demons. We've discussed this before. It's important for us to realize that in your walk for the Lord, it's going to be harder than it was for previous generations. Why? Because there are fewer and fewer churches that are coming together and resting upon the Word of God and believing it and practicing it. There are fewer and fewer true born-again Christians. Think in your own life. If you're old enough to go back 10, 15 years, remember the people that were the most spiritual in your life, who were closest to the Lord. Chances are, after 15 years, most of them are no longer here. Think back to the time when churches were the place where you could come and know God. Today, churches are places where you can come and have dinners, fellowship. Nothing wrong with that, but the church is no longer has as the top priority to help people to know the Lord. It's no longer there. Over this past week, I passed by many, many places that were once churches. They folded. They're not there anymore. Some of them are antique shops. Some of them are restaurants. Past one that was now a restaurant called the Church Restaurant, which a lot of should apply to a lot more. But it's one of those things where you see in 15 to 20 years, things have changed, and not for the better. Now, we know that the devil hates the Lord, and the devil has angels that follow him. Let's just say that, and these figures are, you know, they're not accurate by any means, they're just as an example. Let's say that the devil had 100 angels. Of course, he has many, many more. And he wanted to attack churches. All right? He'd only be able to attack 100 churches. one angel each. And those angels would go in, they'd stir up trouble, they'd stir up personality problems with people. One angel be able to hit 100 churches. Now, what if out of all the churches where those angels were, what if half of them shut down? That leaves the devil with 50 angels with nothing to do. Only he's going to find something for them to do, isn't he? And so you're going to find that the remaining churches might have two demons attacking, maybe even more. I think one of the main reasons that so many of our young people are going astray is because of what is on TV. And you find the demonic being lifted up and praised. People think it's really cool. Demon-possessed people on TV, and our young people are applauding them and thinking that they're really great. One of the things that happened a few years back, I'm sure a lot of you remember the movie Rosemary's Baby. Another one was The Exorcist. Two Hollywood films that came out, and you would think that every person who went to see that would be terrified, that they'd be afraid. But that isn't what happened. They came out and they wanted more. If you've seen the advertisements on television, you know that Hollywood is providing all the incentives for people to get into witchcraft, to depend upon demons, to call upon them. This is what's happening to our country. And whereas there were many more churches at one time, meaning the devil had to spread out his attacks against God's people, now there are fewer and fewer churches that are actually preaching the Word of God and telling people exactly the way it is. So the devil is able to throw more demons against them. You see, then it gets personal. How many demons is the devil able to send against each dedicated, born-again Christian today? We don't know. But it's a whole lot more than what it was 20 years ago. And we need to be aware that this is what is going on. It's going to get worse. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the worse it's going to be. And this country, where the devil has focused his attention, because at one time we stood on the Word of God. At one time we were promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. All that stopped. That stopped. And today, the devil is accomplishing so much more than ever before, because he doesn't have to go after the liberal churches that don't believe the Bible anymore. He doesn't have to go after the churches that have a Bible right next to a Koran in the pews. He doesn't have to go after the churches that have decided, hey, let's just have a good time and party in Jesus and forget about this thing of repentance and forgiveness of sin. Let's just forget about it. He doesn't have to go after those churches anymore because they're already gone. They're already gone by the wayside. But he will come after the individual Christian who lives strongly for the Lord. He will come against the churches that refuse to compromise, and they will stand on the Word of God. They're going to be the ones under attack. So when it talks about a place of demons and every foul thing going on, every foul spirit, once again, we find that there is a nation that certainly fits into that category. In verse 3, it says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There's no other country in the world that has such influence over every country. So when it talks about Babylon the Great, I think the evidence is pretty strong. I mean, you can disagree, that's fine. But I think if we look at all the evidence, that the United States is about the only country in the world that fits this category. I mean, we look at a great country like Canada. Canada doesn't affect all nations. They don't influence all nations. We look at Mexico on our southern border, and Mexico has a lot of people, a lot of natural resources that aren't being used. They have a lot of potential, but they don't influence every country in the world. We look at Russia, China, all these countries. Yeah, they have a lot of wealth, but you know what? They get kicked out of countries. People say, we're tired of you taking advantage of us. I heard recently one of the countries in Africa is having a contentious problem with China, because China is depleting them of their gold. And this country says, you've got to pack up and get out. Now, that isn't the case with the United States. We're there. And we're influential. So again, I think the Bible makes it pretty plain who it's talking about so far as spiritual characteristics. It has to have influence. Babylon, the Great. And it says, in the latter part of that verse, it says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich because of the abundance of her delicacies. What country is able to produce far more industrially than any other country in the world? We are. The United States has the power and the might to do great things. Some of you may remember, those of you who were alive during World War II, you may remember that when that took place, a lot of people were kicking themselves because we were closing down our steel plants and we were sending all our scrap metal over to Japan. And Japan was making ships and guns and weapons of war to come against us. And so there are a lot of people that regretted what was going on. But you know what? In a matter of a couple years, the United States was able to build great industrial plants that go on for miles. I've seen the remains of them. And I know that these plants, and a couple of them are still operating, I've been in those. And you look at these plants that go on and on and on as far as the eye can see. These were built in a matter of a year or so and producing materials very quickly. The United States makes a lot of people rich. Who can forget the term Silicon Valley? We're the ones who come out with electronics that usually work most of the time, but certainly they are superior to the electronics that other countries are trying to pass off. We've made all nations, all the merchants in the nations, rich because of our wealth in this country. If you think back in your history when you were in high school, you know that the United States was considered to be not only the breadbasket of the world, but also the power that motivated other countries. motivated them to industry, into merchandising. This was a country that really motivated them all. And once again, we look at Scripture and we see the description that's given of Babylon the Great. And Babylon the Great had the same characteristics as ancient Babylon. And all the Lord is doing, the Holy Spirit is taking those characteristics of ancient Babylon and he's shifting them over and saying, here, this is the country Babylon in the last days. Not the same geographical boundaries, but the same characteristics. And that's important for us to know. The behavior. Let's take a look at verse 7. Talks about how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she says in her heart, I'm a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. The idea, the spiritual concept that's mentioned there has been in existence since World War II. I think World War II was the last war where we said we won. There have been a lot of wars since then. But in what wars have we won? What wars could we say, I'm a queen and I'm invincible? I sit no widow and shall see no sorrow. We see sorrow continuously because of the wars that we get into. Where do we win? You may remember under the first George Bush, we went into Iraq. And people asked, you know, how are we going to finance this? Because we were having economic problems at the time. And it kept on and on and on and on. And then they asked his son, when he was the president, how are we going to pay for this war? It's still, we still have people over there. And he said, when we go into a country, we need to take a spoil. We need to have that country that has done something wrong. They should pay for all our military efforts. That's what he said. I heard the news conference. And they wanted specifics. They said, well, how are you going to do that? And he said, Iraq has a lot of oil. We will commandeer that oil, or we will get money from the sale of that oil, and that is what will pay us back for the efforts in Iraq. Never happened. Never happened. As a matter of fact, there really isn't any evidence that we won anything. The Iraqis still hate us. They want us out. The territory of Iraq has largely been used as training ground for terrorists. So I can see here an attitude that says, I sit as a queen and no widow and shall see no sorrow. I see an attitude there that certainly fits into the attitude that we see in this country today. Feels invincible. Invincible. Now, I'm not going to go into details as to how Babylon is destroyed. The Bible says it will be. That's all we need to know. Because we're not going to be here. If you're saved, you're not going to be here. And that's the wonderful truth. Because the Lord is going to come for his bride, and we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's something to look forward to. But we also need to remember, we're studying the book of Revelation, and it's talking about a whole lot of things past that time when we get to go to heaven. What about our relatives that aren't saved? What about our neighbors that are not saved? What about the people that we work with that do not know the Lord now? What happens to them? Well, that's what we're reading about. That's what we're seeing in Scripture. It isn't a pretty picture. It isn't one where people are saying, boy, we need to get on our knees and ask God for forgiveness, because it doesn't happen. I know that there are several movies out that try to give people the impression that if you miss the resurrection, if the Lord takes the church home and you realize what happened, that you can repent and get saved and everything will be hunky-dory. That isn't what the Bible says. The reason that we read past the rapture or past the resurrection is so that we would understand what is going to happen to people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it is not a pretty picture. And it should be one to stir our hearts and stir our minds to realize we are in a country that is identified in Scripture. We are in a country where the demonic influence is growing every single day. We're in a country where at one time, this is a nation one in God, but it's not that anymore. We live at a time where the values of the past have been abandoned and they have been replaced with the characteristics, the spiritual characteristics of Babylon. It's actually a frightening thing. And God gives it to us to understand because He wants us to do something about it. He wants us to reach people while they can be reached. You say, well, what can a little group of people do? Well, because of your prayers and because of your backing, we have people overseas that every year bring hundreds and even thousands of people to know the Lord. And they are so few. I'm talking about our brothers overseas. So few. But I want you to think about this. That when Jesus ascended into heaven after His crucifixion, He told His disciples to go and wait for the promise of the Spirit. And there was a reason for that, because they couldn't do much without the Spirit. And so they gathered together, 120 of them. And I'd remind you of how many people got healed in Jerusalem alone. And how many people in Jerusalem said that they believed in the Lord. And yet only 120 stuck around and waited till the day of Pentecost. And when Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came down and filled those that were there, 120 of them. That 120, the majority of them, because of persecution, were dispersed all over the world. 120 isn't much. But out of that 120, there were 12, well, actually 11, that stayed with the Lord the whole time and were faithful. And that 120 were largely the results of what those 11 people had done in submitting themselves to God. So anytime you look around and say, hey, you know, there's only 11 people here, I want you to think of how many times Jesus sat down with His disciples. Not 120. Not 120, but very few. And they went around the world and spread the gospel every place. And how were they able to do it? In light of the persecution, in light of the hatred toward Christianity, how were they able to do it? Down through thousands of years where there were rulers, emperors, who tried to wipe out all Christians. How were they able to do it? God empowered them by His Spirit. And you're no different. I'm no different. Except that we may understand a little bit more because many of them didn't even have the book of Revelation, hadn't been written yet. They went out. The book of Revelation came about roughly around 90 AD. And the majority of those people who went out around the world didn't even know the book of Revelation was coming yet. They didn't know where John was. We have a mandate from God. It's called the Great Commission. And there are two parts to it. Number one, preach the gospel. That's evangelism. That's evangelism. The other part is teaching them all things whatsoever I've said unto you. That's edification. That's to strengthen God's people, make them strong. Those were the two things that were given to the church to do. I know the church tries to do an awful lot of other things, which is one of the reasons why it's watered down today, why it's lukewarm. And I think one of the most frightening statements that Jesus makes in the entire Bible is this: because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Need to take that seriously. He said it. It's not something you can misinterpret. It's there. And we who know Him as our Savior, having given this mandate to reach people so that they don't have to go through the things we're reading about in Revelation. Yes, the United States is mentioned. And there are other areas as well. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, it talks about the young lions of Tarshish. And we've shown you the coat of arms that were used in Western Europe. And this is where modern-day Tarshish is. And we see that we are among those young lions of Tarshish. This is the root of this country. This is our origin. And the Bible says when Israel gets invaded, that these young lions, these other countries that once supported Israel, stand back and they watch Russia and her allies come down into Israel to take a spoil. They watch. So one of two things: either the United States has a point of policy, no longer supports Israel, or the United States is so weak that we're unable to come to Israel's defense. A lot of things are up ahead. How much of them we're going to be here for, I don't know, because I believe in the imminent return of the Lord so that He could come tonight. We don't know the day or the hour. But we know from all the signs that Jesus gave in Matthew 24, all the signs that He gave in Mark 13, the Olivet Discourse, we do know that we're getting very, very close. Because what are signs for? Jesus said these are signs. What are they for? They're to show you where you are. They're to tell you what to do. And I hope that every one of us counts the soul of those that are near us, those that are co-workers, those that we go to school with, those that are our relatives, I hope we count their souls as being precious, because they are precious to the Lord. God sent Jesus, God the Father sent Jesus to be the Lamb of God that would pay for our sins and theirs. But it's a matter of them knowing how God wants us to respond to that. And He wants us to respond in faith, repenting of our sins, realizing we blew it, we sinned. Now we need forgiveness and new life. And when we realize, okay, I've already done that, I've been born again, when we realize that there are so many people around us that haven't, and when you realize the book of Revelation talking about such incredible destruction and pain during the tribulation, it should stir our hearts to want to reach out and help these people to know Jesus, even though the majority of them are going to say, no, get away from me. Don't bother me with that. It's worth it if even one comes to know the Lord as Savior. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your word. We thank You for giving us the insights that we can see where we stand in history and where we stand as a country. I pray, Father, that there might be opportunities this week for us to share the joy that we have in You. I pray that You'd give us the opportunity to share our testimony, to share Your plan of salvation. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You. Help us to be effective throughout this week and in the days ahead. Lord, I thank You for each one that's here today. I pray that You would take away any discouragement from their minds and instead have them look to Your face and base their actions and their day upon what pleases You. And Lord, we'll look forward to all that You're going to do through us, and we praise You for each one that's here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Trust we'll see you on Wednesday.